Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with your host, the Honorable Sam Rohrer, President of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues impacting our economy, our homes, our churches, our culture, and our daily lives from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Stand in the Gap Today, transforming the culture one heart at a time.
Well, today on Stand in the Gap Today, we're going to highlight some man-made, what I'm calling green lights from the East Room of the White House all the way to the West Bank in the Middle East to ultimately what I'm going to call God's red light in Jerusalem. And we're going to bring to you the important news of the day from a biblical and constitutional perspective as we do on this program every day. Now, yesterday, by some accounts, a near miracle occurred in the White House. President Trump met with 25 congressional leaders, both Republican and Democrat, from the House and from the Senate, in an open-to-the-media negotiation on perhaps the most divisive issue that's been around here for some time, and that's in the matter of immigration, national security, a border wall, and DACA, or the what referred to as the children of illegal immigrants. The comments from those attending on both sides of the aisle is remarkable in that President Trump, despite all the negative complaints, continues to advance an agenda and surprise even the pundits. We're going to talk about some of the remarkable responses to this event yesterday in this first segment. Then in segments 2 through 4, we're going to head from the East Room to the West Bank in the Middle East. And we're going to get an update on some key events that are affecting the nation of Israel, including the status of Middle East peace plan efforts, the Israeli leaders giving a green light to build on the West Bank, the Palestinians giving a green light to kill Jews, and the European Union and the European leaders ordering a green light, telling Israeli's leaders they've got to divide Jerusalem. And we're going to conclude this program today with God's aspect in all of this. And I'm going to term it his red light, his stop there in Jerusalem. And with that, I welcome you to Stand in the Gap Today. I am Sam Rohrer, and my co-host for the day will be Evangelist Dave Kistler, president of the North Carolina Pastors Network and president of Hope to the Hill, located in Washington, D.C., as well as Dr. Gary Dull, executive director of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network and senior pastor of Faith Baptist Church, located in Altoona, Pennsylvania. And our special guest to walk through us through the bulk of this program today, from the Middle East to the West Bank, is Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, host of Prophecy Today. So let me go ahead and set this up a little bit more here, if I can, on this first segment. Yesterday, President Trump called a most unusual meeting in the East Room of the White House. He invited 25 members of the House and the Senate, both Democrats and Republicans. And by the way, the media, that's very unusual, invited the media to view in a public fashion congressional negotiations that are almost always of this type closed to the public and to the media. The goal here was to try and move Congress to an immigration bill completion that would be included in this next budget consideration due by January 19th, because Congress is on a clock. If they don't do something with the budget by January 19th, theoretically, government closes down. So the president wanted to take and move this forward. And he made it very, very clear, ladies and gentlemen, that the goals included the wall, because that was a promise. He wanted to include national security issues, keep people from coming across the border. He made that very clear. He also wanted to make it clear that we wanted to take care and be compassionate to the children of those illegal immigrants who have come here, who's had children then born on U.S. soil. Putting these pieces together has been a really tough thing. It's kind of like trying to herd cats. Doesn't work real well, but the president did something yesterday, and a lot of comments have come out on both sides of the issue. But Dave, I want to go to you first for your commentary, because I know you listened to a lot of that. What was your response as you watched the interaction between the president, the gathering itself, the commentary by the Democrats and Republicans, House and Senate leaders? What was your takeaway as you watched that event yesterday?
Sam, it was an absolute masterpiece of leadership. It was an absolute masterpiece, Sam, of leadership. The president spoke with clarity, and those that would say that he is in some way an idiot, ill-prepared to lead the country, I think if they watched yesterday's event at the White House, he should have dispelled every bit of that in the minds of people. He went around the room, he got input from both Democrats and Republicans, and then you could see where he was firmly committed and would not budge with respect to the border wall, with making sure that this DACA discussion does include appropriate security. So it was absolutely a masterpiece.
Dave, my response was similar to yours, but I noted that CNN, we've talked about them, they're hostile on everything. Their lead, one of their lead articles in summary of that event was, quote, Trump contradicts self repeatedly in immigration meeting. They took an entirely different view than what you're saying, than what I walked away from, and frankly, what Democratic leaders themselves, led by Dick Durbin, Senator Dick Durbin, made outside the White House immediately after the event. If we could just play just a piece of this clip, please.
Meeting. And I say that in a positive sense. The president asked for members of the House and the Senate, Democrats and Republicans, to come sit around the cabinet table for about an hour and a half. Yeah. It was a commitment of his time to an important issue, and I feel that we have his urging to move forward. He believes, as we do, that this issue, the issue of the future of those who were protected by DACA, as well as other immigration issues and border security issues, should be a priority. Among the things that he mentioned during the course of the meeting is he believes, and I share this belief, I think we all do, there should be two phases. There is the important, timely, urgent issue involving DACA, and then there is the long-term comprehensive immigration reform issue. All of these are important, and we have decided to meet as early as tomorrow among the leaders here and discuss the next step. We have tried to narrow the conversation about what we will do immediately, what we'll work on an urgent basis, and there may be other efforts underway that involve other people in other committees. But I feel personally.
Well, ladies and gentlemen,
well, ladies and gentlemen,
we seem to be having some issues.
There from Senator Dick Durbin in comments with.
Well, we've got a few issues, ladies and gentlemen, that are technical issues that you can understand happens whenever we do radio, and sometimes we don't know where the source of the problem is. But we would encourage you to stay tuned, because when we come back after the break, we are going to invite Dr. Jimmy DeYoung to come in, and we're going to continue to talk about this red light, green light situation as we look at Israeli leaders giving the green light to build. What does that mean? Well, stay tuned. We'll be back with more right after this break on Stand in the Gap Today.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Thank you, Sam, and thank you to the team that you have working with you. I'll tell you one thing about your show. You accomplish more in less time to advance the gospel and to advance knowledge and understanding of seriously any radio show I know of. So congratulations.
Those kind words from Congressman Michelle Bachmann summarize what our guests say about Stand in the Gap Today. This is Sam Rohr. On this program, we bring honest analysis of today's news to you and millions of Americans every day. with a newspaper in one hand and the Word of God in the other, we connect the dots between what's happening and what God says about what's happening in light of the Bible and the Constitution. From the mouths of our co-hosts, all preachers, whether former members of the House of Representatives or an evangelist to a millennial pastor or a senior pastor of 40 years, Stand in the Gap Today is here for you. Unique, current, trustworthy. Pray for us. Stand with us financially by going to standinthegapradio.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today. For more information, visit our website at standinthegapradio.com.
Well, while President Trump and congressional leaders yesterday following a meeting in the White House signaled a green light for addressing the border wall, security and impact on immigrant children already here, Israeli leaders gave the green light to move ahead and even build more Jewish settlements on the West Bank. This despite being told not to do so by European leaders and the United States. Now, this decision has many implications not only for Israel directly, but the potential peace plan being pursued by President Trump and Jared Kushner, as well as relations with the Palestinians, generally speaking. Now, to find out more about this decision and its implications, I will once again yield to Sam Rohr, but we are going to invite Dr. Jimmy DeYoung to come in, who, of course, is a regular guest and friend on Stand in the Gap Today, as well as a well-known evangelist, probably the number one student on biblical prophecy that I know, and, of course, he's the host of his own radio program called Prophecy Today. Welcome, Jimmy, and Sam, you can take it from here.
Well, gentlemen, can you hear me okay here right now?
I can hear you greatly.
Yes, sir, Sam.
I think we're stuck in a delay here, ladies and gentlemen. I just want you to know here, I think, Garrett, you may have to take it from here, but when you listen to this program, you say, I wonder how programs are put together. Well, let me tell you, in this program right now, unusual to have three of us, myself, Evangelist Dave Kistler, and Dr. Gary Dahl, but you may not know this, but I am sitting in a studio in Pennsylvania. Evangelist Dave Kistler happens to be in a studio in North Carolina, and Dr. Gary Dahl happens to be in a studio on the western side of Pennsylvania, about 3 hours away from me. And when we bring on guests like we do with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, he is, I don't know where he is sitting here at this moment, but he is in another location calling in. So a lot of things have to happen just perfectly, and sometimes there's a difficulty with that. So bear with us as we go through this program. Jimmy DeYoung, I want to bring you in here right now as we talk about the circumstance here with Israeli leaders giving a green light to build the wall in Jerusalem. What prompted, first of all, Israeli leaders to give this green light, if I could put it that way, to build more Jewish settlements where they knew it would be controversial with both Palestinians and the European Union and the Trump administration?
Well, I've got to tell you, Sam, by the way, this is perfect evidence of the fact there's demons in electronics. So we understand that. That's why there is some of the problems that are taking place. But what motivated the Israeli leadership to give the green light to go ahead and build more settlements? Now, there at this point in time, about 220 different Jewish settlements in the area that is referred to often as the West Bank. It's a bad term. It should be called Judea and Samaria. But it also includes the eastern part. I didn't say East Jerusalem, but instead the eastern part of the city of Jerusalem. What motivated the leadership? Prime Minister Netanyahu had made a promise to that segment of the body politic of Israel, and I'm talking about almost 750,000 Jewish settlers, approaching the number of 1 million. He made a promise to them that they would continue to build when they needed to build. In other words, by natural growth, there's a need for more construction to take place. People have children, they grow up, they get married, they have their children, etc. And this was what helped set up the coalition. The Israeli government is a coalition government, a number of different political parties coming together to elect the prime minister. But in addition to that, these Jewish settlers believe that it's the first line of defense for the Jewish state of Israel. They're there at the cutting edge to stop any attack on the Jewish state. I've got to tell you, they're not going to be told by the United States or the European Union what to do when it comes to their security. And it's also a tangible warning to the Palestinians, this is our land. We're ready to negotiate it. It's debatable as to who it belongs to. We're not in occupied territories. There's no such term as occupied territories, according to the United Nations. But it's our land, and you'd better pay attention and come to the table. And they're ready to do that. These settlers, they believe that Ezekiel 34 gives them a promise. In Ezekiel 34, 18 times, the Lord says, I will find the Jews where they have been scattered. I will gather them into Jerusalem, and I will let them build in that piece of real estate just like I did for your forefathers. And again, let me remind everybody, the eastern side, the old city of Jerusalem, is included in the Jewish settlements. They're not going to divide that. They're not going to separate it. That's an absolute. It will not be an undivided city. And, of course, President Trump on Jerusalem and the U.S. ambassador's endorsement for this area, Judea and Samaria, for them to have the settlements out there is behind all of this motivation to give the green light to build these settlements.
Jimmy, again, we certainly appreciate your presence with us today. And as I said, I think that you are the number one student of Bible prophecy today, and you know what's going on over in Israel, and it's an honor to have you with us regularly here on Stand in the Gap. But let's move ahead a little bit on this and consider this recent United Nations coordinated attack against Israel, Jerusalem, and President Trump's recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. You know, this was extraordinarily pointed and swift and arrogant, so it's no wonder that they really want to limit Israel's growth and stature there in the Middle East. Yet, in light of that, do you believe that their warning to Israel to not build more settlements and the UN's council to not build more settlements are motivated by the same concern? And if not, why not? What are your thoughts on that, Jimmy?
Gary, I happen to believe that they're motivated by the same concerns that I just spoke about a moment ago. One of the reasons is because the United Nations went against Donald Trump's declaration of the city of Jerusalem. About 99% of the entire world did the exact same thing, and they believe that he made a mistake. I have got to tell you, though, as I've been watching Donald Trump and his relationship with the Jewish people, he seems a bit soft on the settlements. Remember, he has a U.S. ambassador. He appointed his own personal attorney in times past, and also his son-in-law, who are very involved in the Jewish settlement, his son-in-law, an Orthodox Jew, having relationship with those Jewish settlers as well. So that's a part of his thinking and Donald Trump's attitude towards the Jewish people. Israel believes that they are a sovereign state. And the mass majority, the latest polls indicate the mass majority of Israelis want to have the settlements. They do not want to put out of the settlements. They've seen the division that has caused in the past.
Jimmy, let me ask you this very, very quickly. We obviously know the Bible is clear about the land being given to Israel, the borders of the land, and the fact that Israel was to move in, have dominion over that land, and cultivate it, build it, develop it. Is anything that's happening today being motivated by Israel's understanding of those Old Testament passages, or is this unrelated to any of that?
David, most of the Jewish settlers are Orthodox Jews. They're students of the Word of God. That doesn't mean they're born-again Christians. They're Orthodox Jews studying the Bible. They understand, for example, Ezekiel 34, which I mentioned, God saying he's going to bring the Jews into the land and give them this land. They understand Ezekiel 36, which 35 times talks about the land that God has promised to give the Jews and tells them actually how to deal with that land. But when you bring to the table, in addition to that, yesterday there was a very important rabbi who lives in the Jewish settlements that was murdered by the Palestinian terrorists. And at the funeral yesterday afternoon, the Jewish settlers were wanting revenge. They don't want to allow this to happen, so they're ready to stand up and go at it. I was among a group of Jewish settlers in a demonstration recently where I went up to one of the settlers, just a man standing there on the street, and I said, "Why are you here?" And he looked at me and he said, "Buddy, the people, the land, and the Bible are inseparable." And when you have that type of attitude, That's the main reason that they want these settlements, and the Jewish leadership recognizes this. That's why they gave the green light.
Well, you know, it's exciting to see what's going on over there. And in just about 20 seconds, Jimmy, can you let our audience know what you think about whether or not Israel is going to continue to try to expand in their own land, or are they just going to test the waters to see how the Palestinians will respond?
They don't test the waters. They do what they believe is right for them, and they understand they have to protect themselves. And as I said just a moment ago, these Jewish settlements are the first line of defense from Syria in the north, from Jordan in the east, and also from Egypt in the south. That's their main concern, not what President Trump thinks and not what the United Nations or the European Union leaders think. They're going to go straight ahead. They're going to continue to build because they know this is land God has given them.
Do they understand that what the boundaries of that land is, and are they trying to build that into their future discussions and decisions?
Yes, they do, and it's 10 times what they have today. There are many Jewish scholars who've written on the subject of the land. 38 passages of Scripture deal with the 10 times what the Jews have today will ultimately be theirs. They understand that.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is very interesting information and pertinent information to those of us, particularly who are Christians, to understand what's going on in the Middle East. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue to talk to Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. You know, the Palestinian media has given a green light to kill and destroy. Kill and destroy who? What does that involve? We'll talk about it after this break.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, discussing the pressing issues facing our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Now let's rejoin our host.
Well, for those who understand biblical truth and God's ways to build, to develop, and to move forward, go ahead, Sam. Ladies and gentlemen, we still have this technical difficulty. We are trying to work it out, and keep in mind that this is live radio. But let me continue this. For those who understand biblical truth and God's ways to build, to develop, and to move forward, to grow, to put down roots are as natural and proper as breathing and eating for most of us. Yet there is no question that to those who have a worldview that is opposed to God, His Word, His commands and warnings, tearing down, killing, and destroying is normal. Now, such is the case in the Middle East. As Israeli leaders naturally and properly gave the green light to put down roots and build in Israeli-controlled territories, the Palestinians, and particularly the controlled Palestinian media, has given the green light for Palestinians and all those who hate Israel to rise up and kill the Jews, to take life, and to destroy and to tear down. Now, in light of that, and to give us more insight on this dramatic contrasted worldviews, actions, and implications, we're going to invite Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, host of Bible Prophecy Today, back with us, and we'll continue to discuss this. Jimmy, the dynamic contrast between nature and worldview of Israel and their Islamist neighbors, including the Palestinians, and Israel to build and to develop, and the Islamists to destroy and tear down, is nothing short of amazing. For the Palestinian Authority of the Palestinian media to call for the killing of the Jew is, in one respect, is nothing new as well. But what is significant, though, about this recent and renewed call for the death and the destruction of Jews in Israel? Can you address that for a bit, please?
Well, Gary, you're right on target. The Palestinian people, if you study the history of them for a 4,000-year period of time, from Genesis 25, Jacob and Esau, all the way up to today, you have to recognize that is the desire of these descendants of Esau to kill the Jewish people. That's what he said himself back in chapter 27 of the book of Genesis. But what is new as of today to get this back on track, to bring him to the cutting edge of incitement to get everybody to rise up against the Jews is the Trump declaration on Jerusalem. I have to say that's the most profound thing that our president has ever done. Jerusalem is key to understanding the end time scenario found in God's word. And they understand, the Palestinian people I'm talking about, they understand what has happened. And so thus they have said it's a declaration of war. In fact, right after the declaration by the president, all the Islamic leadership went to Istanbul, Turkey, and had a conference together. Now, the Palestinian leader, Mahmoud Abbas, was there. He incited the rest of the Islamic world, and he called for war against the Jewish people. In other words, violence. They believe now they have the backing for such violence. Palestinians want Jerusalem as the capital of their Palestinian state. They say that if they lose Jerusalem, now listen to this, if they lose Jerusalem, they have failed. That is the major motivator. Not only do they want to kill Jews, but if they don't keep control of Jerusalem, they have failed with what they believe is what they, Allah, their God, wants them to do. Thus, the Palestinian media calling for people to rise up and kill Jews. This incitement, by the way, has been used, and it's going to continue to be used. Yasser Arafat started it, just talk about Jerusalem, and then talk about violence and talk about the Palestinians taking over Jerusalem. You're on the right track.
Dr. Jimmy, let me ask you this. There have been some religious leaders that have really decried what President Trump did in acknowledging Jerusalem as Israel's capital and hence planning to move our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Do you, as a geopolitical expert, as a biblical scholar, do you see any downside to what our president did by acknowledging what has been a 3,000-year historical fact and certainly a biblical fact?
Well, he was only simply, David, stating the obvious. Hello, you've got the legislative body of the Jewish people, the Knesset, there in Jerusalem. You have the president of the state of Israel, Reuven Rivlin. He has his residency and his presidential office in Jerusalem. Prime Minister Netanyahu has his residency there, his offices in Jerusalem. The Supreme Court is there. Now, it's only obvious that that is the capital of the Jewish state of Israel. And when the prime minister welcomed the statement by President Trump, it was only, well, thank you for saying, obviously, what is the case. Now, let's move on from here. And by the way, what happened when he said that was he took the problem over Jerusalem. If they're going to come to the peace table, going to have a discussion, come to any type of reconciliation, the Israelis and the Palestinians, Jerusalem was the hot button, the top issue they had to deal with. Now that's off the table. So let's start talking and get into reality.
Dr. Jimmy, can I follow up quickly with just this question? The criticism has also been leveled that President Trump, in the acknowledgement that Jerusalem is Israel's capital, was pressuring or pushing Benjamin Netanyahu. From your perspective, can an American president push the Israeli prime minister? And was President Trump pushing Prime Minister Netanyahu into something he did not yet want to do?
I want to tell you something. This is not an anti-Semitic statement, but have you ever tried to negotiate with a Jewish person? You do not go in there easily and have a conversation. Their mind is made up. They're going to do what they're going to do, and nobody's really going to be able to stop them in that effort. Listen, the prime minister of Israel went to Moscow and met with Vladimir Putin and said, Mr. President, Ezekiel chapter 37 has been fulfilled. Hello? If he could stand up to one of the most powerful men in the world and make that statement and not back off of it, do you think he's going to back off for anybody else? And he is not pressured. Look, he has been the prime minister for the longest time in the modern-day state of Israel. No other prime minister has served longer, and everybody's trying to bring him down. He's still in the prime minister's office. He's still traveling and representing the state of Israel, and he does it. And if you've heard any of his speeches there at the joint houses of Congress or the United Nations, he peppers and salts at that speech with the word of God. He's not going to back down. He understands the word of God and at least the general principles as it relates to the Jewish state today.
You know, Jimmy, when President Trump stated that we were going to be moving our embassy to Jerusalem, it seemed as though it surprised so many people around the world, both those who are pro-Israel and those who are anti-Israel. And yet, as far back as to where? George H.W. Bush, I guess, at least Clinton, Bill Clinton. There's been discussion about moving the embassy from Tel Aviv on over into Jerusalem. Now, my question to you is, number one, why have previous presidents, even though they said they were going to do this, why have they never done it? Donald Trump has. Why have the previous presidents never done it? And secondly, why is it that the rest of the world seemingly is surprised over this when particularly the United States has been talking about it for 20, 25 years or so?
Well, even farther back than that, Gary, because it goes all the way back to the time of Jimmy Carter as president back in 1976 when he pulled together Menachem Begin, the prime minister of Israel, Anwar Sadat, the president of Egypt, and then Camp David, the recreational center there for the president in Maryland. They got together and they came up with the Camp David Accords, a peace treaty between Israel and Jordan. So that shows the effort of presidents trying to deal with the situation. In 1995, the joint houses of the United States Congress passed a resolution that Jerusalem is the political capital of the Jewish people. And the problem has been there's never been a president with enough courage to follow through. They would continually postpone it. Now, they use the excuse, hey, this may cause violence to take place. Friends, violence has been taking place for a long time in the Middle East, and it's not because of the city of Jerusalem, albeit that's what the Islamic world wants us to believe. But the president finally said, this is obvious, this is what the Bible really says. It happened some 3,000 years ago, 2 Samuel chapter 5, when the Lord gave King David the city of Jerusalem as the political capital, and so he just wanted to follow through. You know, he made some promises on the campaign trail. I'm proud to understand that he kept the promise in particular on the city of Jerusalem. I'm not excited about everything Trump does, but I'm surely excited about this declaration.
Dr. Jimmy, I appreciate how clear you are with respect to this, and I'm in complete agreement with you. I just am hearing out there some Christians, and it's kind of heartbreaking to hear them be critical of the president's decision to acknowledge Jerusalem as the capital. Could you speak for just a minute to what that acknowledgement means for the United States of America as far as God's blessing on us?
Well, I got to tell you, Genesis chapter 12 says, those who bless the Jewish people, thus I be, i.e. the state of Israel itself will be blessed. Those who do not bless Israel, they're going to be cursed. So they better pay attention. That's an absolute promise from the book of Genesis chapter 12. But in addition to that, I would think there are church leaders and church folks who do not agree with this because they don't understand the prophetic word of God. David, you travel just like I do all the time from church to church, and you know they're not teaching prophecy in the churches. And without that knowledge of one-third of the Bible, people are going to have a mindset contradictory to the word of God. God's word says Jerusalem is the key. We better understand that.
Amen.
Well, and a double amen to that. And, you know, I think one of the things that concerns me, Jimmy and Dave, is the fact that many, many pastors don't understand Bible prophecy and don't teach it. And that's why many people in the pews don't understand it as well. When we come back, we'll talk about the EU leaders ordering a green light to divide Jerusalem, but God's giving the red light. What's that all about? We'll be back right after this.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com. Our theme for this first month in 2018 is New Beginnings. Genesis chapter 1 says, "In the beginning God created." You see, there's nothing in this world, people or things, that God did not create for His glory. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr with another timely Stand in the Gap Minute. Physical life, and above all, spiritual life in Christ, were all created by Him. While all creation was made for us to enjoy, it was also made to remind us of the majesty and the power of God. The Bible tells us that all creation sings His praise. Are you? Singing praises to God starts with recognizing Him as God, then knowing Him personally as God through Jesus Christ. If you don't know Him, you can. Let this be the year we praise the name of Jesus Christ as Creator and Redeemer. Could I also invite you to stand with us in prayer and finances this year? Visit us at standinthegapradio.com to find out how you can help.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and we want to continue our discussion here with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung and talk mainly about how that the EU, the European Union leaders, order a green light to divide Jerusalem, but God gives a red light to divide it. And, you know, as we've been talking throughout the course of this particular program, Israeli leaders giving the green light to build more Jewish settlements, and now the Palestinian authorities giving the green light to kill Jews, is quite an interesting thing that's developing over there. And, as I just said, in Europe, the EU leaders and the United Nations and all global government supporters are giving the green light and even more telling Israel that they must agree to divide Jerusalem. Well, ladies and gentlemen, green lights from the EU global government leaders or not, God has given the red light, which I would say is the stoplight, when it comes to Jerusalem and carving up that precious city. And so in this last segment, we'll bring together the concept of man's green lights and God's green lights and red lights. And, of course, I know who's going to come out on top. But, Jimmy, help us, if you can, now in this concept of mankind giving green lights to some action. And what happens when this conflicts with the green light or a red light established by God? Let's see what we can do here, if you don't mind, to apply this principle to the matter of the EU global leaders telling Israel that they must agree to divide Jerusalem. Jimmy?
I need to remind everybody that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6, brought human government into existence. You go to the other end of the Bible, Revelation chapter 17 and verse 17, it says that God puts in the hearts of world leaders to accomplish His will. God's will is going to be fulfilled. You may be the leader of the European Union, the United Nations, Russia, China, the most powerful leader in the world, the United States of America, president, whoever you are, God is going to direct everything. You're only in that position, Romans chapter 13 says, because you have been placed there by Him. So these leaders need to understand, and they need to get in line with what God's plan is as it relates to, i.e., the city of Jerusalem. You see, God's word will be fulfilled as it relates to Jerusalem. The Davidic covenant in 2 Samuel chapter 7 says that God has selected Jerusalem for the Jewish people to protect them, to be the location for that kingdom to come and for eternity future for the Messiah, Jesus Christ, to rule and reign from. In fact, Zechariah 6:12 says He'll build a temple there. 6:13 says He will rule and reign from that city called Jerusalem. Psalm 132, verses 13 and 14, it says, "The Lord has chosen Jerusalem to dwell among His people forever." Zechariah chapter 2 says that Jerusalem is the apple of His eye. You're not going to mess with the most vulnerable spot of any person. You want to take a big man down, just poke him in the eye. He'll fall to his knees immediately. Well, that said, the European Union, United Kingdom, United Nations, United States, whoever may come to the table, must understand that the Bible teaches the city of Jerusalem will not be divided. In fact, the prime minister, we were asked a moment ago about the prime minister, will he back down? He says, absolutely no way. the foreign minister, the man who was in charge of making policy on the foreign field from the United Kingdom, came right to Benjamin Netanyahu and said, you're going to have to buy into Jerusalem, give a portion of it to the Palestinians. He said, there's no way it's going to be divided. It's the eternal, undivided capital of the Jewish people. Now, that said, got to remember what Zechariah chapter 12, verse 2 says. Jerusalem is going to be the center of controversy. And Gary, I've got to tell you, I've had rabbi after rabbi tell me that we're living in Zechariah chapter 12, because it is, and every day coming more so, the center of controversy as it relates to the end times. I would suggest the practical application for this is everybody standing on the sideline, observing all that we're seeing unfold, listening to this broadcast, had better recognize that Jerusalem, and I do believe God put in the heart of Donald Trump, I'm not a mystic, I'm not a charismatic, I do believe in the Word of God, and I think according to the principle of Revelation 17:17, God put in the heart of President Trump to name Jerusalem, to speak out to the world and get the focus on the city of Jerusalem. We know we're in God's plan for the end times, because if you watch Jerusalem, you can know what God is doing.
Dr. Jimmy, you're almost reading my mind, but I want to ask you this question in the couple of minutes we have left. President Trump is receiving high praise from the leader of South Korea, stating that the president's stance and his strong actions is actually helping melt some of the frozen relationship between the North and the South as far as on the Korean Peninsula, and possibly even being able to facilitate at some point some talks. What do you think God is doing, or how is God using President Trump? In addition to him acknowledging Jerusalem as Israel's capital, how else could God be potentially using President Trump to facilitate this end time scenario that we so frequently talk about when you're on with us?
You know, I've got to tell you, David, I'm amazed. I stand on the sidelines. You're involved in Washington. I'm not down there that often. You know better than I even the answer to the question, but I'm amazed how this man is as wise as a fox. I mean, he's unbelievable. And he comes up, I mean, I think that was just the epitome of his genius yesterday when he went live with that discussion of those congressional leaders. He's making decisions like that. You know, everybody seems to be scared. Well, this is going to cause North Korea to send a nuclear weapon towards us. Well, what are we going to do? Just sit back and let them keep threatening? So he makes decisions. And we see that tangible evidence is driving him to make some tough stands against the Rocket Man. And the Rocket Man then blinks and he goes down to meet with the South Korean leadership. And they come together with an agreement. At least it's the first step forward, which nobody else has been doing. I mean, what about the other presidents? I've loved some of the other presidents. They haven't stepped up to the bat to do what needs to be done, either with Jerusalem or North Korea. They've just been watching and waiting for something to happen, which is not going to happen unless you make some decision. You look at Iran, it's the same exact thing unfolding. He wants to get rid of the deal that it's going to, the nuclear deal that he put together, Obama put together with Iran. Well, he's ready to do that. But on the other side, we've been talking about the funding from the United States for the Palestinian people. Well, if we withdraw that funding, which I think we should, because you're only promoting and paying for terrorism, your tax dollars going to have these Palestinians kill Jewish people. But wait a minute. If we withdraw, Iran's going to take that money. Hold it. That came available, $140 billion with the nuclear deal, and they're going to spend it on helping the Palestinian people at the center of the body politic of the Jewish people to do what needs to be done to fulfill Bible prophecy. And I could go on and on with all the things that Donald Trump is doing. Now, again, I'm not saying I agree with everything he does, but I go back to that principle I spoke about just a few moments ago, Revelation 17:17. God puts in the heart of political world leaders to do his will, and God's will be fulfilled.
So, Jimmy, you would probably not say, as some of the liberal media is saying, that Donald Trump does not have the capacity to serve as president because he's mentally ill. You would not agree with that, probably, correct?
At least If he's mentally ill, I'd like to be that mentally ill myself.
David, close us in prayer, please.
Father, thank you for the encouragement we've received. Thank you for our dear friend, Dr. Jimmy, and the insight he brings. Father, continue to work your will out. May we rejoice as we watch it occur in Jesus' name. Amen.
And we'll see you in 23 hours, ladies and gentlemen. Have a great day.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today. Stand in the Gap Today is another quality ministry of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues affecting the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. We take seriously the command to be salt and light and the mission to declare truth in the public square. Stand in the Gap Radio is supported through the prayers and tax-deductible financial gifts from listeners like you. Would you please consider a donation to help us increase our outreach of biblical truth? To learn more about us and make your donation, please visit StandInTheGapRadio.com. You may also give from our smartphone app. Download the Stand in the Gap app. Search for it in your web store under the heading Stand in the Gap. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in every weekday at the same time for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.